May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening with hymn 1104. Hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come. Informed by the gospel, for such there is room. Overwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn 1104.
Let us read together from the Gospel according to St. John, from chapter 9. Gospel according to John, from chapter 9. And we read another chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the ninth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, that the night cometh when no man can work. look, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and received, and washed, and received my sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again the Pharisees said unto him, asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe that, concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked him, saying, Is not this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered him and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. And he did not hear, wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, My hearing is a marvellous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that and that they which see they might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. It may seem difficult to understand, but the teaching is very clear that they did not know the truth. The first of Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, neither vaunteth it not itself. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things and believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, that's God's love, isn't it? Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. May the Lord help us to pray. O Lord, we do pray for a right understanding of thy majesty and thy holiness, and our nothingness, and yet our sinfulness. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thy mercy may be toward us. Don't not leave us in our state of nature that can even be parading ourselves like a tinkling cymbal or such a thing as we have read. Oh, we do pray for reality. And Lord, do make us what we need to be. We do pray, Lord, that thou gather us around thy word. May there be a word in season, a portion from the Lord. A goodly portion we read in the word. May there be crumbs of mercy. May there be something, Lord, to go home with and go on with. We do pray, Lord, for each case and each need. We have no doubt there are those that are full of need and perhaps tempted to. Lord, be round about them. May the Lord be very near to the tempted ones, and enable them to hold on their way. We pray, Lord, for the young little ones and rising generation so quickly. We pray for them. With our own little flock, we pray that thou bless souls. And Lord, the burden of our heart is that they may be raised up to be pillars, mothers in Israel. May be, Lord, an outpouring of thy spirit, and may be those that shall stand, having done all to stand, bless the church and the congregation here. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us in our concerns regarding Zion, and pray, Lord, that thou remember us still. O, turn again unto us. Remember us, Lord, in thy great mercy. Lord, in every fresh trouble, may we hasten unto thee. Pray, Lord, for thy appearing. We do seek that thou remember the sick and afflicted, those that are bereaved, and those, Lord, that are passing through life as the sand passes through the glass. And, Lord, we have also much cause to think upon our mortality. Oh, to make us right and bring us right at last. Keep us right, and Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Bless the cause at Swavesey, and hear prayer, Lord, for causes represented perhaps. We pray for our own. Seek, Lord, also that thou remember us as we call upon thee, Lord, for a day of outpouring, a day of blessing. Desire to thank thee, Lord, for thy many mercies. We are still on praying ground. Lord, we are still able to consider that the throne is not empty. Oh, but Lord, do stoop down. Do come. Do pour us out a blessing. Open now the crystal fountain as we sing. And grant, Lord, some sweetness in the name of Jesus and those streams of love and mercy. And especially, Lord, may there be replenishing, reviving, saving of our souls by the Lord to come where we are. And grant us help of God. Lord, we do feel to need thee this evening. Desire to thank thee for each temporal mercy and all thy goodness. We come almost to the end of another year, so swiftly as it has sped by. And yet, Lord, thou art good. Thy mercies, we have it in thy word, thy mercy endureth forever. Lord, we seek that thou art come. Grant that liberty. The Holy Spirit, may none be ashamed because of the preacher, but may there be much holy boldness that we will go with you, though poor and needy. Hear the prayer in the hymn. Grant us the rock that is higher than I. And Lord, we desire that thou hear us now as we seek to pray once more for our land. Prayer has been lifted up, Lord, in the sanctuary. And we are thankful for that. And do grant, Lord, those prayers and desires may be answered. O Lord, do appear. It seems as if judgment follows judgment. And we pray that thou remember us still. Lord, we do seek that thou come and remember any out-of-the-way case. Those that hardly know how to go again to the house of God in the sense of going up to the word, up to the Lord. And Lord, do soon bless the dear friends with the continual opening of the chapel with ourselves. We seek, Lord, that thou remember us more than we can ask. And our asking, Lord, meeting this, we ask thy presence, dearest Lord. And we're unworthy of that. Oh, we are persuaded of it more and more. But thou art worthy. Oh, Lord, what sin and ruin belong to us. And yet thou canst make up and grant us thy sweet mercy. We may be able to sing of it too in the songs of Zion. Lord, remember us now as we seek to fall at thy feet. Oh, but Lord, we do need thee. We need the Lord to come where we are and do bless the dear friends and the little ones too, the younger ones, and hear us, Lord, for Zion. We ask all these things in that worthy, prevailing name of Jesus, seeking the forgiveness of all sin and unworthiness for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
us continue with hymn 711. 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
By the Lord's gracious help, I direct you to the 1st of Corinthians chapter 13. We read from verse 12 just into verse 13. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We've been directed to the 12th verse and perhaps those words in the latter part of it. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And the Lord directs our thoughts into it, but we must, as our custom is, to look at the setting of the word. Not every time, but it seems to me right to consider the apostle is writing to the Corinthians. And he says in chapter 12, I would not have you ignorant. He speaks of that need of the Lord's blessing through the preaching of the gospel. It needs the Lord. He says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. But now they're born of God, and they desire the things of the Spirit. It's a mercy if ever the Lord has delivered us from ourselves. I think in the chapters here, there's such a sweet exhortation to characters. Those that the Lord has opened their eyes or touched their hearts or granted them some real desires for Christ. He speaks very much of the love of God. I've said, friends, many times, nothing will change, convert our souls more than the love of God. Of course, we need the Spirit's teaching. But those that may say, I haven't got a law work, or I can't come in the first part, so I cannot know Jesus unless I am so taught my sin to such a degree that it leads me to Jesus. Friends, we need the Spirit. The Lord empties and he fills. He convinces of sin, yes, but he doesn't leave poor sinners there to be better. He leads them to Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. And that is whom the dear apostle is speaking so much of. And the love of God especially. He speaks solemnly, though I speak, he says, with the tongues of men and of angels, whatever it may be, and have not charity, that is the love of God indeed, the love of God fixed in our poor hearts. And have not charity, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Oh, to be kept from a name to live and yet be dead. And then he speaks so sweetly, as we know the chapter perhaps quite well. He speaks of the need of that charity in the light of so many things. Or the virtues, I think it could be said, of the love of God and the grace of the Lord. Speaks of this wondrous gift of God's love. Charity speaks of it. And it is the wonderful thing that ever the Lord has charity or love to poor sinners. Friends, that is fixed upon them from eternity. They are debtors to the love of God, these characters. Before they were born, they were objects of love. Oh, that we might be able to rest in it, be able to know it more and more. He speaks of this charity and the fruits of it right through the chapter, really. Charity never faileth, and so on. Then he comes down to the latter part of the chapter. In verse 9, he says, "For we know in part," these are characters, "and we prophesy in part," they are his servants, "but when that which is perfect is come, but then that which is in part shall be done away." Much teaching about that. It is the perfecting of God's grace in our poor hearts, and it won't be perfected until we're taken out of this world and brought by the Lord's rich grace to heaven at last. May it be so. He says, "When I was a child," verse 13, "I spake as a child." He refers to his very early days. "I understood as a child." His understanding was simple. "I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." He speaks naturally, but then there's a spiritual application. People of God want solid things, friends. They want things which will delight their hearts and bring them sweetly to the Lord Jesus. They need the Lord to teach them, and they're at his feet. Mary was at Jesus' feet, hearing his word. "But when I became a man," he speaks in that sense of maturity, "I put away childish things." Is it not so? Naturally, perhaps. Much more spiritually, if the Lord touches our heart, there's a putting away of those things that do not profit or even conflict with our desires. And you can't have God and mammon, can you? It's give me Christ or else I die. Now he speaks in the last verses here. He gathers up these characters that were Gentiles, were carried away, but now they are brought by the Spirit. Many things about it in the chapter. But they're brought unto the Lord like this. They come before him. They see through a glass darkly. I think the literal meaning is as in a riddle or hard saying. Lord's people feel that. They need the Lord to open his word and open our hearts and grant us sweet knowledge of Christ. The sinner's friend, I was going to say it, and I will, again and again. Once is not enough for you, is it? Need the Lord again with the very characters the Lord will draw unto himself. For now we see through a glass darkly, as through a glass darkly. There is that application to not being able to see so clearly, perhaps troubled about it. And he goes on to say, "But then face to face, now I know in parts," takes up the thought, "but then shall I know even as also I am known." The words are fixed upon my heart are these. "Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known." It's the gospel. Oh, friends, the Lord knows his people. They belong to him, as I have said, from all eternity. But they're given to Christ to redeem. They need the Lord to come and deliver them from sin. But they are in the covenant of grace. They cannot see it. They can't say, "Look how covenanted I am." They can't say, "How great I am." No, friends, it's the opposite, isn't it? And then they can't even see properly sometimes. They can't see their way. They're like blind men sometimes struggling along. They need guidance and direction. I take up those that are younger that may need the Lord to grant them more knowledge and more understanding of themselves and especially of Christ Jesus. I was thinking, going over my thoughts, that in that chapter we have read, there's the sweetest account of the Lord Jesus and this blind man. It's very, very precious. Those that feel their darkness and blindness, for the Lord healed that man so absolutely and left others in their blindness. How true that is. Such for some of you, but for grace. As he opened your eyes, then he'll have opened your heart as well. As he brought you unto the place where you may be able to find him, that you'll have to say, Lord, that I may see. Open mine eyes. Do reveal thyself. Show thyself through the lattice. Do grant me. It's the blindness and it's my unbelief. It's the darkness. It's the state of my soul, so dead and blind, but for grace. Well, the Lord may come and show us, reveal to us how blind and dead we are. But, friends, he'll lead us on. It's the healing, isn't it? I want to hasten to my text, but it does stand out to me that this blind man, and they did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They found fault with it, yet the man could see. My friends, it's man's heart, isn't it? And they called the parents and so on. I must swiftly come. We know not, they said. We know that this is our son, but they said, by what means he now seeth, we know not. Well, they were sadly hiding the truth away, weren't they? May we not be like that, friends. The Lord has opened our eyes. Let us see more clearly our need. Let us see more often the person of Christ. Let us not be ashamed. Ashamed of him. Oh, whom angels praise. We need real things, the Lord to return and grant a sweet knowledge of Christ by the eye of faith, and then might see the way he will lead is into the greater part of the truth, where there's a walking by faith and sight with the Lord Jesus, even in his commandments. Now, to come a little closer, then, we may bear in mind that account of the blind man. He said, one thing I know, they couldn't shift him out of it, could they? Whereas I was blind, now I see. Something to anchor upon, isn't there? One thing I was blind, now I see. Even though it be through a glass darkly, even though we may wish for greater light, that we might feel our darkness. It can even be felt, you know, darkness of the soul. And you have to go to the Lord like, Lord, I'm so dark. I can't pray aright. But then there's that looking up, isn't there? You need the Lord to pray for you. And that must be from heaven. Well, that's where he is. Pray thou for us. And so on might see the Lord. These things are in the sacred hymns, aren't they? Oh, the Lord may grant us clearer sight. And something we need in Zion, friends, is a clearer knowledge of our sin and unworthiness. We need a greater knowledge of what we are, and that will preserve us from Well, in the chapter, it speaks of many things. We leave it, but it speaks in that chapter of those that hardly seem to be able to bear the truth. I hasten. He says that in our text and the truth of it, much regarding one that has had his eyes open like this blind man, much in the sweet sentiment of the gospel, the apostle speaks the same language. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And we have it in the words of the apostle here, we know in part. And we prophesy in part. That is in the preaching or the attending to the preaching. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now that's the doctrine here that runs through it. It's the fullness. It's not the husky part or the, let me put it clearer, it's that enlightening of the eye of faith, the heavenly eye self. It's that sweeter knowledge, isn't it, the Lord Jesus. Well, it is, if he's revealed to us, we'll know about it. But oh, how dark and sinful we are, and yet there is mercy with him. For now we see through a glass darkly. And what a riddle is my soul, the hymn writer says. Alive when wounded, sick when whole. That truth of it, friends, in the hearts of these ones that are quickened, that they can't understand why they're so dark and so shut up sometimes. Well, friends, it's all to make us sick of self and fond of him. Oh, how opened he thine eyes. Was it not by application of his truth? Was it not by the forming hand of God over the clay? May the Lord grant us sweet views about it. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, my thought is that there's a time when the Lord does grant the opening of the eye or their hearts, and there's going out to the Lord. There is that desire for him. But still, it's through a glass darkly. Sin soon returns, or the unbelief is not far away, is it? And then it says face to face and so on. How sweet the truth. I want to touch upon it. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. So that's where I want to come experimentally. Thinking of the man whose eyes were opened, and the Lord's dear people, now I know in part. Oh, how little perhaps we feel to know. I still less enjoy, I think the hymn writer says. Now I know in part. There may be a great anxiety, that do I know the Lord? Do I know him? Do I love him? Well, friends, which part do you want? Is it nearer the Lord? You need his healing touch. You find a companion. The dear man said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Is there a going out to him? That when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he cast away his mantle and his cloak, wasn't it? And he went out after him. Have you not been able to do that in a sweet sense? Say, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way to him I view. Now I want to speak from these words experimentally. Now I know in part. That stands out to me, friends, as if it's a wonderful thing if we've got a little part with those that fear the Lord. You won't be able to go back with the world if you've got a better part. With dear Mary, I've chosen that better part. You'll say, Lord, do come. Come quickly. It's my unbelief. It's my darkness of mind. It's sin that does so easily beset me and gets right in at me. Now I know in part, but there's a hungering and thirsting, a desire for Lord. Do you like the hymns where it speaks of light imparted? Those sweet hymns are very suitable to the exercise children of God. How they need the Lord to impart fresh light, its knowledge, isn't it? Fresh application of his truth, that we know it, we want to feel it. Those that say, my part is so small. If with the part I bear, the hymn writer says, that part may seem to be so little that we might be tempted that we know nothing. Well, friends, the matter is this. We won't want much if Jesus is all in all. And that's the better part, isn't it? Lord, increase our faith. Now I know in part. Well, how true. You can put your witness to it. Now I know in part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now from these words I want to speak, as it may please the Lord, for those that may be seen through a glass darkly. Oh, and the desire is that the Lord may shine the more clearly. And left to ourselves, as we go to the law, we want to be better by it. But we want a head knowledge that will just be suitable for the natural mind. God leads another way to the absolute dreadfulness of our eyes and hearts by nature. Soon it goes off, and there's no tellings where it will not be found but for God's grace. Now I know in part. And it speaks of the teaching of the Lord. That part, friends, you can't say when it began, but something attracted your heart and your desires were quickened and you love to get to the house of God. You desire to hear of him. Desire to know your interest, the Saviour's love and precious blood. Am I his? Or am I not? Now, in experimental truth here, now I know in part. But then, shall I know? Now, what's it mean? It's when the Lord is revealed, certainly to the eye of faith, but then in heaven at last. Oh, we cannot rush at it, friend. What a mercy. We know in part here and know to a fullness when we leave this world and we go home rather than leave our home. Now I know in part. It may take up some poor character hobbling along on his crutches, as we might say, so lame like Mephibosheth on both feet, so poor and needy, so buffeted too. Satan knows how to buffet these poor cripples. Friends, he gets up behind them, but for God's grace, over they go. But they're safely held on their way. Now I know in part, it's experience. It's that knowledge by the Lord of how precious he is unto you, therefore, which believe he's precious. It's what he is to poor broken sinners. And those that fear greatly that they haven't got the part that God's people have, well, they wouldn't be so low. Well, they wouldn't be so dark. Friends, be careful. You need, and I need, more grace to see that we need the Lord's light, not the light of ourselves, but the Lord to break through, like the sweet sun shining through the dark cloud. It's the Son of righteousness, isn't it? In that other sense, that may shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. It goes on about running to Christ. And friends, we need the Lord to draw us. Draw my soul away. Draw it upwards. But, you know, we cannot keep ourselves for one moment, can we? No, I know in part. It doesn't seem to grow. It doesn't seem to increase. And yet it does. In God's eye, but not yours. As he pities our griefs and sorrows, he knows what sore temptations mean. He has felt the same. His propitious eye, looking down upon his dear people, as they struggle on, and they would see Jesus. But then I look at it like this, that there is that longing and looking and those desires, but how can they be realized? How can you get what you want without Jesus? Friends, the matter is this, the Bible is a closed book, but for him, that we are altogether undone, that we haven't got the capacity to understand, nor to believe, nor to repent, nor to live. But friends, it's all in Christ. That's where the Lord leads his people. In other words, they take a look in the empty tomb and their faith is quickened. And they need him to be with them. So they go out after him without the camp, bearing his reproach sometimes. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And I like that. I believe that's the doctrine of the gospel. Now I know in part. But then shall I know. Now what's it mean? That when we're better by the law, when we're a little further on in our own estimation, when we've got a head full, when we rather need a heart full, when we need the Lord to teach us again and again what true penitence is, true sorrow of heart for sin, it's in Christ, friends. Now I know in part. Now he says, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now, it can be likened to a glass or looking through a riddle, if you like. Now I know in part, then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now it's greater than natural things. It's more than just head knowledge or what man may try to impart. It's what God reveals. And it's this, isn't it? Then shall I know, even as also I am known. That stood out to me, wondering about the text. Then shall I know more fully, more to the salvation of my poor soul. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. And that's the love of Christ, isn't it? Or in that sense, as the Lord has known me, when a sinner, vile and base and wretched and dark and God-hating, can't speak too badly of ourselves. And yet, his love is the same. Can't send it away if we're born of God. We may grieve and grieve the Lord and grieve ourselves, but friends, we cannot sin away God's electing love and his rich grace. Now, where is it? It's in the fullness of the covenant. It's in the Father and the rich grace that is in him. And that is where the Lord puts his people, in Christ. They're living head. And they have to keep going like Huntington, to the bank of faith. See what there might be left for them. see if they might go once more. I think the expression is cap in hand, isn't it? It's an old expression. I'll go, all his powers of peace, but will he look upon me? I am so wretched and undone, and when I would do good, evil is present with me. These are the characters, but they're known. Now, why is it? Friends, because God's love is fixed upon his own eternity. How do we know it? Friends, it's the drawing of it, his love. Like the little plants in the soil, they'll soon be springing right up, won't they? It's that drawing power, that drawing of God's love. Friends, it's the tenderness of it that they, these characters, are preserved in Christ when their feet made haste to hell and everything about them went in haste to hell, really. No. Oh, can you come in there? The Lord has been gracious. He has known my soul in adversities. He has known me in my deep complaints. He has known me in my sin and ruin. Yet, to him I just said, love me notwithstanding all. Now that's real grace, isn't it? I am known. And yet we might not be able to realise it. But there's a sweet drawing about it. I thought of it like the voice of the Good Shepherd. So I am known. The shepherd calling his sheep. There might be a great number of them, but when the shepherd calls a particular name, that sheep knows. And my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Out they have to come. Whoever's around them, they have to say, I must get to chapel. Or I must seek to go even to my secret place or and pour out my soul and ask the Lord in a time he may be found. Mine's an urgent pressing case. No, it's these characters that feel they're too bad. But they are too bad, but for grace. Oh, what a rich grace that is. The Lord to know his people in their ruined state, in their darkness, bondage, corruption, in the way of rebellion, darkness of mind, just like the prodigal. He left his father's house and everything. Off he went. But, friends, he wasn't beyond his father's love. He watched for him. I like the gospel. When he saw him a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. That's in our text. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. These characters, friends, are known by God's calling. Now, someone said, I haven't got a calling. Really? Let me put it like this. Who would you rather have, the world to call or the Lord to call? Ah, call me by thy grace, Lord. I can't seem to hear nor know anything. But then it's these humbled souls that need him most. Well, it's an urgent pressing case. That their souls, friends, that they're not got so much light that they're worthy, but they're so dark they need a little light in their hearts, a little spark sometimes of God's love, that they need his reviving power. You know, a little light can be seen a long way off, can't it? It may just be very small, but it can be seen a long way off. Now that's it. It's the love of God in the heart. The Lord knows about it. And he will increase that life and love. Now it will be through many things. Even as also, then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now, what it means is this: the sureness of it. Once he loves, he never leaves. Loves unto the end. Friends, the vital truth is this, that we might know him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Also I am known. Look in the reverse order. Then shall I know? It was also I have known. I'm known. Then shall I know. It's this, isn't it? When the Lord puts his hand to the matter, to your case, your soul, to your needs, to the draw of your heart, you'll open it then. You say, well, we don't want to hear. I'm speaking of God's work. As he touches the heart, and then sinners open to the Lord. They can't do anything else. That's grace. Were it not for him, that they would continue in the downward path of sin. But now they need the Lord. And their hearts are open, but that they feel to wonder if he has opened their heart at all. But they're known of God. That's the point of it. And so they're watched over, visited, or watched over. He's a sort of me when a stranger wandering the fold of God. They're watched over in this. Their times are in God's hand. Put it another way, their future is known. God's will is known. That they have to learn this, that they have to cast their all upon the Lord, believing that he is able to exceed abundantly. Or in this sense, choose thou the way, still lead on. Lead me, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. When shall I know, even as also I am known? No, it's the gospel. That we do not speak it as if that there is some degree about it. Then shall I know, even as also I am known? Friends, it's the utter magnitude of it. That ever God should look, remember, have in mind, in purpose, in grace, wretched sinners. How wretched they crucified the Lord of life and glory. Away with him. Give us the world. We'll not have him to reign over us. Friends, we've known something of it. But the Lord draws, he brings back. This is love. He knows how to bring down these characters after to cry for mercy. And you know, there's a difference when the Lord touches hearts. It alters their feet, their footsteps. They have to seek the Lord. The time he may be found. And it's not the world, is it? Like it once was. You have to be in it. You have to do with it. You have to learn things and so on. But your chief desire is that the Lord might be uppermost. He might come and guide your footsteps, even in providence, and direct you in the right way. And he led them forth by the right way. They might go to a city of habitation, that they might know him, that I may know and love him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, daily all his holy will esteem. Oh, but how far off. Oh, friends, that the Lord touch us. We soon are left, aren't we, to our poor doubting hearts. But the Lord is greater than these doubting hearts. They're known to him in the sieve. Satan's got a sieve, you know, he sieves his people. He allows Satan to sieve. God allows his people to be sifted in the sieve. And they wonder where the seam will end. Marks of grace they cannot show. All polluted is my breast, said the hymn writer. That they really, really feel that they're not belonging to the Lord. And they're full of despair sometimes. I didn't know whether to go to chapel or not, or to seek the Lord or not. Friends, that's Satan, isn't it? Trying to hedge up the way. You go and tell him you're the worst, and call upon him in the day of trouble. He says, I will hear thee, thou shalt glorify me. These characters then are brought again. They're known. That's what I'm trying to bring my friends. They know, God knows them better than they know themselves. And they know we what to do. That they don't know when the Lord began with them. They fear that's a mark against them. That they do not, cannot seem to know the way, nor can they redeem themselves. They're all together in want. Ah, friends, good characters they are. They learn to walk the best. Simple soul I fain would be. In writer speaks about it. But you won't be much of the world. They say, well, you're out of date. You're not in the right century or whatever they might say. Friends, you have to say, well, I can leave them in spirit and seek my God. Oh, that I knew the secret place. Might know my God and spread my woes before his face and spread my wants abroad. It's this, isn't it? It's this dependence. And you can't produce a spark, but it needs the Lord to come. And light your candle, I think that's in the Word, isn't it, in the Psalms. Thou shalt light my candle. But it's an expression of illuminating and reviving, and granting a little sweetness in the name of Jesus to go on and to go in his strength. I will go in the strength of Lord God and make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. But I know what it is to be in things when you can't see where God may ever deliver you out of them. You hope you've got a sweet interest. You hope you know him. But why so dark? Why so troubling? Why those unanswered prayers? Why am I thus? Said Rebecca, if it be so. Why am I thus? And Matthew says, why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly worse, they be sure, have never known his name. Now, these are characters, friends, they really do fear that God has left them. They hear the same sermons, the same truth, but they don't seem to touch their heart. They don't seem to bring forth that sweetness now. What's the trouble? There's no trouble in him. It's your heart and my heart. What a wretched place. Needs the Lord, doesn't it? Give a new heart and to grant his peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, ever he should have to do with these poor characters. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. Well, it's that truth as it is in Jesus. Friends, the Lord knows his sheep. We can't tell like he can. But the Lord knoweth them that are his. When he hath tried me, said Job, I shall come forth as gold. Then shall I know. No, it speaks then of a sweetness in this word, of a light to shine, a truth to be known, and then there's redemption in it. I mean, the blood of Jesus is in it. Then shall I know. Why, our election of God. Then shall we know that he is, that we are his. And that we have a good hope through grace. But it's when it's made over. Sometimes in a sweet deliverance, you say, ah, I see it now. I can trust him now. We need more grace. We might trust him more. With a cloud between. God may yet be pleased to appear. When the way is rough and dark and God is far off, Well, that's to our poor thoughts, but friends, he's ever near. The Lord to be with those that feel shut out or shut in. They can't get out of their prison house. They would get into the sheepfold, but oh, their sin and ruin. And the wolf may indeed be at hand. Let the Lord be with these poor characters to help them to continue, but continue thou. The Lord grant that help to cast your all upon him and to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. It's that finisher of it I want to touch upon. We don't know, friends, whether we shall live to see the end of this year. We don't know. How would it be? But it would be well with the righteous. What about next year if we're spared? Will it be the year that a stone is erected up? What would it say? I buried a very dear one. Those words, ye belong to Christ. Oh, but I want to speak of it personally. We need something to die upon and to rest upon eternally. I had an uncle that they buried him well because he handles Messiah. So my father said, I think it grieved his heart. We want something more than that. It's this sweet sentence, son, thy sins are all forgiven thee. Or it's that confirming of his love, that the writing of it again in the heart. Yea, I've loved thee in everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, that's how it sprung up to me. I didn't know how to think about the text that seemed to keep coming. Now I know in part. Yes, here and there. But then, shall I know even as also I am known? And what is that? Your election of God. You shall know this, that he is the friend of sinners. And he leads his people on. He directs them, they're fools. He leads them by the right way. They are amongst those that shall obtain the promises through Christ, their living head. Let a knock upon his door of his mercy. And yes, it's open all day to the poor and needy, and not by the way. They have to knock hard, they have to push hard, perhaps, and it opens. The Lord grants some sweetness in it. Now, those that also may have gone a long way and cannot understand why the Lord seems not to hearken to their cries. Oh, that's a hard path, isn't it? Well, the Lord stands above it. We have to say, we need more grace. Thy will be done. But there is a calling upon the Lord, isn't there? For the day that he has made. The day is appointed when souls perhaps may be brought back, may be brought to know the Lord even, and to... I know my father wondered that when I came forward years ago, and others, they wondered that such a sinner should seek, follow the Lord. Well, I'm still trying to follow. We need the Lord. Even as also I am known, his love fixed upon his own eternity. Swing about it. Love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. And so those sweet sentiments. That the Lord has fixed his love upon sinners, friends. It can't be lifted off. Devil can't take it away. Our wretched hearts can't subdue it. The Lord conquers these hearts. He loves them and they shall be victorious. I speak very carefully through the blood of the Lamb. Their wits and might are his. And they come down to the end and they prove then that the Lord was the author and finisher, their faith. They have to know this, that it was him that first called you, first called, and then the heart is that part, friends, that God has renewed, so it rises up and seeks to know the Lord, seeks to do his will too. The Lord grants it. Oh, I would speak out of my heart, but I must leave it. Then shall I know. Some perhaps are waiting for that. Then shall I know. Well, we need, friends, grace to know that still small voice. Sometimes it's like this. Hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. I'm going to leave a few things. Now we see, could be said, but through a glass darkly. Not much. But then, face to face, in heaven's high courts above, friends, there's not an empty place there. And shall I know, even as I am known, then face to face, now I know in part, yes, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Oh, how sweet the word, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is the love of God in truth. I must leave it there. I hope you'll excuse me. Amen.
God willing, on Friday there will be a prayer meeting for church members at 8 o'clock, and this will be on Zoom. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Seymour is expected to preach, and God willing, this will be in the chapel, and it will be a morning and afternoon service at 10:30 and 2:30. And Mr. Seymour hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. And there will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and God willing, on Tuesday, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn 132. Thank you.
Lord, we've been singing of that constant flame. Well, we would seek to know it more and more. Lord, and do help us once more to pray for our land. Turn unto us. Have mercy upon us. Lord, touch hearts and do deliver us. Lord, do not leave us to thy judgments continually. Oh, what things we have to hear about. So now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.